Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for leading us in the pastoral prayer time, and many, many serious things for us to be praying about, but it is, as you brought up, a privilege and an honor for us to be the family of God and to go before the Lord for each other and to minister to each other, and to God use us to really reach out and bring the comfort of God to each other and through all the things that we go through. So mark those prayers down. They'll be in the prayer requests if you want those on Monday and that kind of thing. So let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 as we look at verses 5 through 11. That's Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 5 through 11. Go ahead and grab your outline. Good to follow along. Have your outline with you as we continue to study of God's Word in the topic of living the Christian life. We've been in it for 2 weeks. We're going to be in a few more. As your outline, I wrote this general outline of that. Living the Christian life, this was part one and two, was it's a resurrected life. That's what we've already covered so far. You're a new creature from verses 1 through 4. The old is gone, the new has come. You have been given new life. You have the responsibility to live a Christ-centered, Christ-focused life. That's a responsibility that we have. That's to seek the things above, to set our mind on things above. It's to set on eternal perspectives. It's to set on eternal realities. And those are all found in Christ. And because Christ is our life, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And one day, the complete Christ-like life that you have will be revealed with Jesus in glory. That's what we looked at first couple of weeks. That was very impactful. We dug into all of that, really ministered to our lives. That's what we have. It certainly is this. The quote that we had the last 2 weeks was from R.C. Sproul. Christianity is essentially a life to be lived. It certainly is, isn't it? It's the life that God has given us to live. It's the life given to us in our salvation by God. It's the resurrected life, and we saw all of that in detail. Now, today, the second big picture, and that's what we're doing. We're kind of picking out big themes out of the book of Colossians, looking at living the Christian life as we've been moving along here. The second big theme that we're going to look at in the Christian life is putting sin to death. Everybody say yay, rejoice, right? We get to talk about putting sin to death today. You came to a great day to be at church today. We're going to look at this, but that's what it is. That's the Christian life. It's putting sin to death, verses 5 through 11. It's not giving sin life in our lives. I want you to hear this. It's choosing and seeking a life that lays aside sinful actions and attitudes. It's choosing and seeking to pick up living righteously. It's living in a manner that throws off sin and puts on holiness. It's a life that recognizes that our actions can be sinful, and when we see them, when we recognize them, we choose to do all that we can to rid them out of our life, choosing to live God's way. That's what we're going to look at today. Doing this, living this way, putting sin to death, is the Christian life. Put it this way, if you're not doing it, you're not living Christianity. It's not that we're hunting sin. It's not like we're, let's find something, that kind of thing. This is your life with God. This is your relationship with God. This is the things that God brings out. He's conforming us to the image of Christ, working in our life. And so there's going to be things in our life that God is saying, hey, you need to let that go. Set that down. This is the way of God. It's Christian living. It's with new life in Christ. And it's putting sin to death in our life. This is what we're going to be looking at today. So in general, what the Apostle Paul is writing here, this is really the application from the doctrine that he's been talking about. So in general, what God's Word is saying here in verses 1 through 11, since you have a resurrected life, seek a Christ-centered life, Christ-focused life, therefore be putting sin to death. Because it's going to railroad you having a Christ-centered life, a Christ-focused life. That's in general just a truth, isn't it? So let's read our text from this morning and we'll take it from there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. Here's the word of God that we're going to be digging into this morning. The apostle writes, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all in all. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple instructions about it in our life, and this is therefore, because of what we learned in the last couple of weeks, because of what we said in the resurrected life, therefore, we're to be putting sin to death. Now, it's much stronger than what it says in the New American Standard. It says in the translation that I read on First Sunday, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. It's way more and stronger than consider. It's really, in the original language, says put to death. The ESV says it this way, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, meaning sin. The NIV says it this way, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, your earthly old self. Is what he's talking about. So what it is us, as in our walk with the Lord, in the relationship that we have with God, in our understanding of God's word, God is asking us to act upon the things in our life. We are to put sin to death in our life. We're to not allow it to have life in our living. What Paul is referring to is the sins associated to your walking or living by the flesh. You're to put those things to dead or put them to death. We're going to dig really deep into this when we get into Romans 7. When I get back to Romans, we'll get really deep into all of this and how all that works. But just to kind of see it, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans 6 with me. So the Christian life is putting sin to death, and we need to understand what that is. Here's a description of understanding. I wanted to say it that way. Of what putting sin to death looks like. Look at chapter 6 with me, beginning in verse 1. Now, the Apostle Paul has just wrote in chapter 5. Let me summarize it for you. He just said in chapter 5 that we have new life in Christ by the grace of God, and that grace abounds more and more. It increases even when we sin. That's what he says. We're by grace we have been saved. It's by the grace of God. Grace abounds in our life where sin increases. Grace increases where sin increases. Either way, this is what he's been talking about. So look at chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. He says this, what shall we say then? Or do we continue in sin so that grace may increase? Since the grace of God increases in our life, it overcomes the things in our life, it covers the things in our life because we're saved by grace and we're forgiven. So since it's that way, grace covers our sin, should we just increase in sinning? What would you say? Well, sure, that's what God allows us to do, right? No, listen to what it says in verse 2. We understand this to be the truth. Look what it says. May it never be. No, no, no. The strongest negative in the Greek. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Now, that's very important what he's saying here. Our new life in Christ isn't alive to sin like it used to be. Our old self is. Our new isn't. We don't live in slavery to sin anymore. We don't live powerless against sinning. So we're not just going to continue in sin so grace will abound. No, that's not how that goes. God did something in our life, in our new life in Christ. We died to sin is what he says. This is the new life. And sin isn't our master. We're not enslaved to sin anymore. Your unredeemed flesh still wants to do it, but your resurrected new life desires to live righteously. Look at verse 6 and 7. Listen to what the Apostle Paul's teaching. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that's Jesus Christ, in order that the old body of sin might be done away with, so that we are no longer slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. We've been freed from sin. We wouldn't continue sinning. Yes, we're going to sin. Yes, we're going to struggle. We're going to fall short because God's at work in our life, but it would never be just what we normally would do, because now what we're doing is we're putting sin to death. That's what we're looking at. We're putting it off. We're not letting it have life in our life. Me and you have the ability not to sin. You should praise the Lord Jesus Christ for that. Because before I was saved, I didn't have the ability to do anything righteous. All I had the ability to do was to sin. And in my new life in Christ, my salvation, with the resurrected life God gave me, I have the ability not to sin, to put sin to death in choosing to live a holy life. That's the life that God has given each one of us. That's what 6 and 7 is talking about. But he goes on. Listen to what he says. Look at verse 11 of chapter 6. Now, I'm just summarizing chapter 6, but this is a good understanding of putting sin to death. He says this in verse 11, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, you know that's stronger than just consider. It's to recognize the reality that what God did is I am dead to sin in the sense of because I'm alive to God in Christ Jesus. I still struggle with it. The flesh does, but my new life in Christ does not, because it's alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. You live in the reality of what God did. Your new life is alive to God now. You can walk by the Spirit of God, denying self, denying sin, denying the flesh, and live alive to God. It's called Christianity. It's our life. It's the work of God in our life to do this more and more. Look at verse 12 through 14. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you would obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not be master over you. You're not under the law, you're under grace. You see, me and you can choose what we present our lives to, can't we? And that's what the Apostle Paul is bringing out in Colossians there when he said we're to put sin to death. It's choosing what we present our life to. Do we choose to present our life to as our members of our body as instruments of righteousness, or do we choose to instruments of unrighteousness? We've been given the power in the life that God has given us. This is Christian living. This is our life. Yes, it's a battle. We'll get into Romans 7 is all that it is. Yes, there's an enemy against us, but the power of God active in our life. You see, that's what we do as believers in Christ. We choose. I'm learning to choose more and more. How about you? That's the goal. That's the way we're pursuing. That's what's happening in our life. Look at verse 19 through 22. Look at, he just tells a little bit more about it. Look what the Word of God says. Paul says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, that's when you're lost, resulting in further lawlessness, now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. That's God at work in your life, changing you. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You were slaves. Sin told you what to do all the time. You didn't have any ability not to do that. That's the Word of God, the truth. That's who we are. Maybe it didn't feel that way, or we don't understand that, but that's God's Word. And you were free in regarding to live righteously, because you can't. You couldn't. You could try, but you wouldn't, because you have to have the new life in Christ. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to have resurrected life. So you were free in according to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. So, of course, our new life is putting sin to death, isn't it? Of course it is. It's giving no life to our living as Christians. Of course it is. That's what this is. There's no question about it, is there? There's no question that this is our life, that the Christian living is this. It's considering... considering these sins to be dead in our body. It's putting the sin to death, as Paul is what we're looking at. Because listen to Romans 8. Turn there and look at that with me if you're there. Romans 8, look at verse 12 and 13. I'm just kind of hitting the highlights there, but all of this kind of flows along. So the apostle writes, so then, brethren, we are under obligation. You're obligated by God, under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Because of your salvation, because what God did, you're under obligation to God not to live according to your flesh. So am I. Verse 13, for if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you, by the Spirit of God, you are putting the deeds, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Life, Christian life, is putting the deeds of the flesh, the body, to death. That's what it is. Back to Colossians 3 with me. And this is what the apostle is encouraging us to understand and see the life of it. Does this make sense to you? Do you walk in this reality in your life? Is this how this is going at times in our life as we see these kind of things, as we recognize things, God shows us things, it's us with him. Now, obviously, without the power of God and without God working in our life and the strength of Christ, and this relational aspect is as we walk with the Lord, we make a choice, we pursue these things, but God's work, God's power in our life changes us from these things. They really put to death sin in our life. But back to Colossians 3:5, so what sins are we to put to death? 3:5. Now, the list here is not exhaustive, but it covers so much. It covers most of everything, but it's not exhaustive. These sins, Paul says, are we're to put to death. First one is immorality. Porneia in the Greek, where we get pornography or prostitution, means to engage in any kind of sexual sin. That's what it is. We're to put that to death. We're not to have that have any life in our life. Let me put it really simple for you, and I won't dig into too many of these in detail, but you'll get the idea of what they are. We're to put to death porneia. The Bible strictly forbids any sexual activity outside of marriage bond between one man, one woman. The Bible is clear on that. Anything outside of that is porneia. Everything outside of that is porneia. There is no exception. There is no other rule. There is no understanding of God. There's no, well, there's this. No, it's this, this and this alone. Sexual activity between one man, one woman, husband and wife. That's it. Everything outside of it, immorality. We're not to let it be in our life. We're not to condone it and praise it and say it's normal or right or real or any of those kind of things. God's word's very clear on that. We're to put it to death. It's not to be in our life. We're not to promote it. We're not to say it. See how straight up God's word is? It's just one word. It's what it means. It can't mean anything else. It's only what it means. It's the original language, what it means. Anything other than that, we're to put it to death. Don't do it. Next one, impurity. Acatharsis. Catharsis, we get cleanliness. Acatharsis is morally uncleanness, filth in mind and action. By the way, all these sins are the evidence to you, are all evidences that you are living by the flesh. That's in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. They're all the evidence that you're living by the flesh. All these are. But acatharsis, moral filth. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. We're not to have immorality and purity in our life. That's God doesn't want it in our life. It's what he wants out of our life. He doesn't want us going that way. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says it very simply, for this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. Listen to this. And then it says this, i.e., that is, this is it, sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality or sexual sin or uncleanliness or filth, all of those together. They obstruct, they hinder, and they stop your sanctification, your growth to becoming Christ-like. No wonder God says put it to death. No wonder God says don't allow it in your life. It halts, it puts a stop, it obstructs his work in your life, in your sanctification, in you growing to become more like Jesus Christ, which is the goal of our life, which is what God is doing. Then he says, put to death passions, evil desires, pathos, lust that dishonor the soul, degrading passions from Romans 1, those kind of things, evil desires, epithumai, carnal desires, worldly appetites. 1 Thessalonians 4:5 says it very clearly, very simply. You are to know how to control your own body in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the lost who don't know God do. It's really simple. He's just laying them right out there for we're to put these to death, we're to not give them life, we're to consider them not the way that we're to live. James writes in James 1, 14 and 15, when we are carried away by our lust, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's such a powerful passage for me, something I remembered a long time ago, that is when I wrote that out and studied that, it brings forth death. I just wrote, no life at all. Do you know if I'm carried away in my own lust, my own passions, my own evil desires, my own pathos, my own immorality, impurity, those things that my flesh wants to do, when I'm carried away from that, what it brings forth is sin. And when sin has its way in my life, it brings forth, and I wrote this in my Bible, no life at all. The whole world in my flesh lie to me that says it brings forth fun, happiness, joy, contentment, satisfaction. God says it brings forth death. That's just the truth. My flesh and my selfishness and who I am and all that other all, kind of mixes all of that up, but God's word is very clear. It doesn't bring any life at all. And then he says, put to death greed, which amounts to idolatry. That's what he puts in there. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Pleonexis, greed. to have more, basic idea, to covet. Selfish wants that's never satisfied. That's what greed there is. We're to put that to death, which amounts to idolatry, which amounts to worship of self, of having more. These two words here is what they are, is to have and more. Two words put together, to have more, and they become self-worship. More of everything in your life is your God, is what he's saying. Again, covered in the deeds of the flesh. So we read some really interesting things and read some really dynamic things about this here greed, that we either put it to death, not allow it to have life in our life, and how it really affects everything in our life. We would say in our life, we want to live a life with no want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I want to get there, that kind of thing. We talk about contentment, those kind of things. Jesus said in Luke 12:15, to beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has the abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Greed to covet, self-worship, is really the root of all sins. One author wrote it this way from the Complete Word Study Dictionary. Said this: greed may be said to be the root from which these sins grow, the longings of the creature which has forsaken God to fill itself with the lower objects of nature. Pastor MacArthur wrote, the antidote is for covetousness or greed is contentment. He said this, he said, the two are in opposition like the flesh and the spirit, greed and contentment. The greedy or the fleshly person worships himself. The content person is led by the Spirit of God and worships God. That's the chasm that is between contentment and greed. And then when greed is in your heart, when it's, I got to have more, I got to have want, I got to be fulfilled, I got those kind of things, this will lead to idolatry, to where I worship me. When I seek after the contentment of the Lord, when I seek after that, I'll be grateful all that I had, all that is mine from the Lord, all of that, when I seek after that, the worship of God is the heart of my soul. A man named Burroughs, a Puritan from way, way back, said contentment is the saved man's worship of God. It truly is. Contentment comes from trusting God and following God's leading. That's what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach us and what we're trying to get in Philippians 4:11. Let me read it to you. He said something very simple. It's something important because that's the antidote to these things, to these sins being put off, to them being put to death, is you seeking the Lord and the contentment in all that he is and all that he is doing. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4:11, he says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Let me ask you, who taught him? Who taught him? Who taught him? Pastor Ken teach him? Pastor Tom, did you teach Apostle Paul? Have you taught anybody contentment? Did they learn contentment from you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? You learn from contentment from walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shows you that all that you have is a grace. All that is in your life is by the grace of God, the mercy of God. You see the circumstances of life. You see whatever is in this life, God is over it all. God sees it, knows it, and it's all from him. And apart from Christ, you would be eternally damned, and you recognize that God is at work in all of this, and that's that, and you are satisfied and grateful for the things that God is doing in your life, has done in your life, and will do in your life. The Apostle Paul put sin to death, choosing to go the way of righteousness in obedience to God, attacking greed, attacking want of self-worship by choosing to worship God and follow the Spirit's leading, not the flesh. Then God taught him contentment. Did you hear me? Okay? I would like to show up and walk through the back door and put a little slip in the thing and that kind of thing, and then contentment come pouring down on my life. I'd like to just show up through the drive-through and get a little bit of contentment. I remember taking one of my cooks when I used to own the restaurant, and we were going to Harvest Crusade, and we're going. He doesn't know the Lord, that kind of thing, but I'm just really glad that he's going and that kind of thing. And he said, I'm just going to ask God for some peace when we get there. And then so we got to have a great conversation, is that, you know, the peace of God is in Christ and Christ alone, and being saved in the midst of a wrecked world and all of the garbage that can go on, you can stand in the midst of the peace of Christ, rule your life. He was wanting peace that there was no discord in his life. See, when we understand what God has done, when we understand who he is, and when we understand what he's doing, let me read that to you again. You can put sin to death by choosing to go in the way of righteousness and obedience to God. It's going to be tripping, falling, not doing well, attacking greed, attacking want, self-worship, by choosing to worship God, follow the Spirit's leading, not my flesh, and then God teaches you contentment. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Moving along here, here's some reasons why this is in his life. Why he's teaching us. Look back to Colossians. Here's the reasons why we're to consider the members of our earthly body as dead to immorality, these things. Verse 6 and 7. He gives us two reasons here. Look at them with me. He writes this. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Pretty straight up. It's not complicated. First reason is the wrath of God. It's coming and will come upon the lost. We saw that it's a reality when we looked at Romans 1, 18 through 32. The wrath of God's a reality. It's not something vague, something that. It's being displayed, it's being given, it's coming in the world, it's being exposed. God's wrath is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Romans 1, 18, we see it now. Not against us, we stand in the grace of God. But against the unsaved, we see the reality of God's wrath and the giving over of humanity to degrading passions, to the depraved minds, to the point that people give approval of wickedness, immorality, and greed. It's overcoming the world. It's called God's wrath. He's given it over. It's the judgment of God, the wrath of God. All sorts of stuff. The wrath of God is real. It's not vague. It's a reality. And in the end, the wrath of God that will come is horrific. I don't need to read it. We just need to understand it and know it. It's not good. Eternally lost, lake of fire, all of the things. Why would one that is saved from this wrath, answer this question, why would one that is saved from this wrath live in these sins that are bringing the wrath of God? That doesn't even make sense, does it? The wrath of God is becoming because of these things. They're being exposed to the world in these things. We're Christians. Why in the world would we live any of these that are going to be bringing the wrath of God? Because we're battling our flesh and our selfishness and the things that are there. But that's what Paul is saying. It's because of these things the wrath of God's going to be coming. Second reason. He says it this way, and in them you once walked when you were living in them. You once were, by your very nature, a child of wrath. That's what it says. All of us were. I want you to look at Titus 3 with me. I want to just look at that quickly. See, what as we go through this, as we dig into this, you know, the last thing I wanted to be is some kind of sin, kind of hunter thing, and oh, we're falling short, and all that kind of stuff. It should be the glory of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God built up so much in our heart and mind that we would recognize the goodness that God has done and given us a life that we can put sin to death in our life. It's a joyful thing. A great thing, a marvelous thing. Look at Titus 3:3 with me and following. You could put your name in there. I got mine in there for Ken. Mine says for Ken also once was foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending my life in malice and envy, hating and being hateful and hating one another. It exposed itself different ways in different people's lives, but that includes everybody apart from salvation. There's nobody outside, verse 3, okay? Well, I was kind of good. I didn't say, this is God. You once were foolish yourself. You were disobedient, deceived, enslaved to lust. How that came out, how that looked, you might have been a better sinner than other sinners, right? I know a lot of people in my life, I would call them, man, you guys are good sinners. Sometimes we're not as good a Christian as other Christians, but that's not the thing here, what we're talking about. This is all of us, but look at verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we'd done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's the resurrected life. God washed you. God regenerated you. God renewed you by the Holy Spirit in your salvation, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified, made right, justified, I am justified before God, by his grace would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You once walked in those, but now look at your life. You would put these things off. So therefore, the Christian life is putting sin to death, walking with Christ, being led by the Spirit of God, learning to be trusting in God. Now back to Colossians. Look at it with me. I'm just walking through the text as the Word of God preaches to our heart, shows us in our life. Look at Colossians 3, 8, and 9. Look what he says here. He gave us the reasons, and now he says this, lay aside it all. It's the old self. It's the old life. It's not you anymore. That's what he simply says. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. This is another powerful verse in my life, one that I've thought of and dwelled upon. And verse 9 says it this way in the original language, stop lying to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. See, in our new life in Christ, God laid it aside in your salvation. We saw that Romans 6, that's why I covered that. God laid it aside. Why would you live in these sins and lie to each other is what it's saying. We need to stop lying to each other. God has saved us, God has rescued us, God has delivered us, given us a new life. When we live in these kind of things, what we're doing is we're lying to each other, we're lying to God, lying to the world, that salvation is transformation, that salvation saves you, rescues you, delivers you. I'll sin, I'll fall short, I'll have to repent, I'll have to ask for forgiveness. I will do these things in my life as I'm doing this, but I'm not going to lie to you. If I sin and I don't do any of those things, and it was a choice of me to walk by the flesh and not by the Spirit. The devil didn't make me do it. I have the power to overcome it. God's at work in my life. Thank you, Lord. Praise God for that he is. But I'm not going to lie to each other. Let's not lie to each other. Let's not lie about God. The world needs to know the truth about Christ, does it not? Why would we live lying to the world? That it doesn't matter how we live, that it doesn't matter what we do, that it doesn't matter if we study the Word of God, it doesn't matter if we honor God's Word. You know what it is? It's just about love. We just got to love and all that kind of thing. Yes, we do, and we have to have the love of Christ, and we got to love our neighbors ourselves, but it absolutely matters what you accept and how you live. Amen? Certainly it does. And that's what the Apostle Paul's getting to here and what we are digging into in here, and God is good, and he is great, and he's going to change our lives. Salvation is from sin's penalty and from sin's mastery and slavery. That's what salvation is. He is Lord and Savior. He's not Lord and heaven deliverer. He saved you from your sins. He saved you from being enslaved to sin. He saved you to live righteously and holy in this life now, today, and working toward that. It's new life to live in a different way. You have the life and the power to wear the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. We're to put all these aside. You have been given a life that can lay aside anger, lay aside vengeance, lay aside malice, lay aside slander, lay aside abusive speech, lay aside sexual sin, lay aside greed, lay aside self-worship. These words in verse 8 and verse 10 where it says this, to lay aside, and verse 10, to put on. These words carry the idea of putting off and putting on clothing. That's how they are. That's what they are. And I want to illustrate this to you so you see this well. That's why the chairs are up here and the jackets are up here. Some of you are going like, what's he going to wear, a jacket today? Maybe. Or he's giving honor to a jacket because he doesn't wear one all the time. I don't know what he's doing today, but this is it. It's an illustration. You and me have the ability to choose to lay aside. It means to strip, of clothing, and it means to strip of the authority, the old way of life, and put on a new way of life. And I want you to see it this way. This is your old self. I picked the black one because that's my old self. This is the old self. This is who it is. I wore it. It was me. It was who I was. It's who you were. What God did is he laid it aside. It's not you anymore. He actually laid it aside in your salvation. The words are in the original language, in the verb tenses mean that. It was laid aside. All God is waiting for you to do is give a recognition to what he did and lay it aside. He already laid it aside. I'm fit for heaven now. It's not me anymore. If I passed away right now, boom, in heaven. I don't have to transform, change, be a better person. I'm fit for heaven right now because that's been laid aside. In our lives now, God's just asking you, will you lay it aside? Will you lay aside immorality, impurity, greed, selfishness, self-worship? Will you lay aside anger, malice? Hey, I'm still working on it today. Anybody give me an amen for that one?
Amen.
We're working on it, right?
Yes.
And it's every day. I'm letting that down. Anger, bitterness, malice, wrath, immorality, impurity, evil desires, lust of the flesh. I don't want them. I pick them up. They come back at me. But this is what God is asking you to do in your salvation. He's asking you to lay it down. That's Christianity. That's the Christian life. All the time. You can't, you know, that's why I said we can't justify any of the behaviors of it. We can't justify any of them. Can't say, well, they're okay, they're fine. God made a mistake. The Apostle Paul's the wrong kind of writer. No. He's just asking you to lay them down. He laid them aside in your salvation. They're no longer you anymore. He can't hold you or condemn you for any of them. Now, he may try to correct you and try to work in your life, but there's no condemnation in Christ because none of those, even if I do them, are me. Praise God. But I'm never going to teach you, then go ahead and do them. No. Because God in his word all over the place says, lay it down. He says, please, not please, but he says, lay it down. That's what I've asked you to do, to lay it aside, to strip off the authority, and to put on the new way of life. Lay it all aside. That's clear, isn't it? Isn't that clear? Now look at verse 10. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the one who created him. You didn't put it on. God did. It's your new life in Christ. It's your new resurrected life. It's the life that he's given you. It's the life that honors God, seeks God, loves God's word, all of those kind of things. And each and every day, God is we'll get into this more next week. He's asking you, are you going to wear it? I already made you like that. I'm conforming you into the image of Christ. I've already transformed you into who you are that can be shaped into the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to wear it? Do you pick it up every day? Now, if you're like me, half the time I don't know what I have on. How about you? I'm just kind of going along, and then God kind of rattles and rolls me and says, hey, that was that one. You want this one. I mean, I'm not paying attention. I'm not kind of being, just kind of going through life. I'm doing the things you do. Now, being a pastor, being in God's word, having to start studying Monday for next week's message and those kind of things really help me to remember which one that I'm going to choose to walk in. But this is the Christian life. It's putting this off. It's taking it off. It's throwing it aside. It's laying it aside. It's stripping of its power. To not believe it, to not think it's where happiness is, to not believe that it's where hope is. It's not to believe that if I have more, 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 I'll be happy. Whatever that is in your life. There's so many things that God is at work in, and I can't cover them all. But he says, and put on the new self. Like I said, God already put it on. Put it on in your mind and your understanding who you are in Christ. Put off the old self, put on the new. Live the Christian life, seeking eternal perspective. Set your mind on eternal realities, putting sin to death, laying aside the old jacket, putting on the new jacket, wearing who you are. As you choose this way, look at what verse 10 says. As you choose this in your life, as you are doing this, this is obedience to God. This is who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. God is just teaching you, renewing your mind, shaping your understanding, conforming your thoughts and actions to a true knowledge in your relationship with God into the image of the one who created you. Who created you? God. Who's the power of creation? Christ Jesus, right? In our salvation, God created us to be like Christ, right? That's the image that we've been created to be like, Jesus Christ. And he's going to shape you, renew you, shape your understanding, conform your thoughts and actions to a true knowledge in your relationship with Christ, to the image of Christ. Close with this. Look at verse 11. Before I look at verse 11, is this hitting our heart today? I know I went kind of quick, but you know me, you guys have to pray for me. Sometimes I can go kind of quick. But I want to get it all out there. I want to share with what God's word is teaching us and put some application to it, how it's working in our life. But it really is this. This is the Christian life. It's putting sin to death, and that, you see what that means. It's very visual. I'm just going to lay that aside. And as I do that, God is going to renew me to true knowledge, understanding who I am in Christ, and conform me to the image of Christ, and I'm going to get a greater understanding and intimate knowledge of the one who created me. Verse 11 says this, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your former condition, your status, tall, short, smart, rich. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what you think, what your culture is, any of that. It's a renewal where Christ is all and in all. It's Christ and Christ alone. There is no distinctive separation from God at all in this. That's where God is headed. Old is gone, new has come. Join in what God is doing. Lay aside, take off the old self, put on the new. Wear who you are in Christ. This is living the Christian life. Are you encouraged today? By God's word and the truth? And you know, we fall short. We recognize things. That's why God has us come each Sunday, hear his word preached, to be encouraged in the truth. Sometimes to be stirred up in the truth, to give us recognition to what we've been doing. All those kind of things, that's God's work by God's design. Let's pray and give him praise for today. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your work in our lives by the Spirit of God because of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that your loving kindness and your long suffering and your patience toward us is to encouraging us to really embrace what you're doing in each and every one of our lives. We want to live a strong testimony as the body of Christ, as this church family, a strong testimony that we're seeking after the Christ-like life, that we're seeking after what God has for us, walking with the Lord, helping each other along the way, dealing with our lives. We want our testimony to be that it's truly a transformed life that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. That's the truth that we want to proclaim. As Paul said, the mystery that he was given to proclaim, the hope of glory, Christ in you. It's all hope. So make us that way, Lord. Continually grow us in those things. And thank you, Lord, that you're working in each and every one of us where we're at. And that we can be for each other in what you're doing. We just praise you for today, for who you are. You are our God. In your Son's name we pray, amen. Thank you for today.